Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. We are right at the top line. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Brei, the Rav Shmuel Bashilas, Mishmei the Rav. So he said this in the name of Rav. If you want to really know what is the spiritual standing of a person, take a look at what happens when he passes away during the funeral, during the hesped, the eulogy, which is conducted upon his passing. May espedei shel adam, from the hesped, the eulogy of a person, nikar, it is clearly discernible. It is indicative, im ben ha'olam abohu im lav, whether or not this person merits the title of a ben olam haba, a dweller of olam haba. Now we all have a chelik olam haba. Apparently this is speaking about a higher standing, a higher status, a higher spiritual madrega in olam haba. So that is discernible during the hesped, the funeral. Let's take a look at Rashi. Top line in Rashi, im ben olam abohu, shim kasher haya. Because if this man who departed was a righteous man, hakol boichen alav, all cry for him. Omer ridin demois, they shed tears, omer saprim shvachai. They discuss his praise. There's no more jealousy, no more competition at that point. People tend to be more straightforward and honest. And according to what's going on during the hesped, it is truly discernible whether or not this person is of a higher spiritual status, and they all feel his absence and his void. Continues the Gemara. Eini, is that the case that the person's hesped, his eulogy and funeral, are true indications, a true yardstick to measure his status? Va'omer le'Rav, because Rav himself, didn't he say to Rav Shmuel Bashilas? So Rav was the one who taught us this lesson. And he himself needed to instruct Rav Shmuel Bashilas. And he said, Achim behespeda. Go ahead and move people, move them to tears, stir them, deliver a stirring eulogy at my levay, at my funeral, the hasam ke'imna, because I am present there. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be aware of what's going on. Make sure that you move them and you stir them. So Rav was certainly a righteous person, Adam Tzadik, as she calls him, a Gavra Rabba. So why was it necessary to artificially stir the audience and move them to tears? If he was a truly great person, says the Gemara, of course, you need somebody to instigate it. Like Kasha, it's not difficult. Ha, when we have a person who is a Adam Kasher, Adam Chashev, then the Mechamu Leva Achim. When people are stirred and moved, they respond in kind, but certainly you need somebody to move them, to deliver that properly stirring eulogy. Ha, however, a person where he's not of such a high spiritual standing, then nothing helps. The mechamulei v'lo yachem. So the people are standing by the levaya, and there's somebody there who is attempting to deliver some moving eulogy, but they don't really get affected, don't get moved to tears, don't get emotionally involved, since this person isn't really of such a high ruchnis madrig. Amalei abayi l'rabba, kegoyin mar. So you, Rabba, we're going to have a problem. Kegoyin mar the son of lei, Kulu Pumpadisoi. All of the people, the residents of Pumpadisa, where Rabba lived, they hate him. Disliked Rabba. Rashi says they were people who were dishonest, and Rabba would rebuke them, admonish them, give them techacha. So they disliked Rabba. Sabai told Rabba, you're going to have a problem. Man achem hespeda, who's going to warm people up and move them at the hesped? Amar lei, so Rabba responded, not so terrible. Mistaya, at, it's sufficient if you, the Rabba Barav Chanan, you and Rabba Barav Chanan will go ahead and conduct your eulogy, your hesped, and that's enough. I don't need more than that. Boy minei Rabbi Lezer mirav. Rabbi Lezer asked of Rav, Ezu ben Olam Haba, who is indeed worthy of this title of a ben Olam Haba, Amalei, so he told him, quoting a pasuk in Yeshaya, Vaznecha tishmana dova mecharecha, you will hear a word from behind you, Leimar, Ze haderech l'chuboi, ki sa'aminu v'chisas milu. So what it means to say is after, behind your coffin, behind your mita, after your passing, you want to hear people speak and say, well, this is the way that this man trotted and traveled, this is the one, and this is the way that you should also follow, we should follow. We shouldn't veer nor right nor left. So apparently, this person is a truly righteous person, and a Beit Olam Haba, if this is how they're speaking about him and about his lifestyle after his passing. Rab Chanina Amar, who is a Ben Olam Haba, Kol Shadas, Rabbi Seino, Rabbi Sov, Noiche Menu, a person whose teachers, the das, the mind of his teachers, are pleased with him, what they hear and see about him. So this person is truly a Ben Olam Haba. The pasuk in Kehelet says, "V'savavu b'shuk ha-soiftim." So the eulogizers will make their rounds throughout the streets. Says the Gemara, "B'nei Galila Amri," the residents of Galil in Eretz Yisrael would say as follows: "Asei dvarim lefnei mitascha." Make sure in your lifetime to say to do things which people will be able to relate and say over in front of your coffin. B'nei Yehuda Amri, the residents of Yehuda, a different portion of Israel, would say it a little differently. Asei dvarim la'acha mitascha. Do things in your lifetime, conduct yourself in a lifestyle in a way which would allow people to speak about it behind your mitzvah. But like pligi, there's no dispute here. They're simply reflecting different customs. Marki Asrei, one is speaking about the custom in his locale where they used to speak in front of the mitzvah. Umarki Asrei, and the B'nai Yehuda had a different minag, and they are reflecting their custom where they used to speak and praise the departed behind the mitzvah. They're both speaking about the same concept. Do things for which you'll be proud of after your passing. Tanam Hassan, we learned there in a Mishnah, Perkei Avos, Reb Lezer Omer, Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Misascha. Repent, do tshuva one day prior to your ptira, to your leaving this world. Shalom Tamidiv Reb Lezer. So ask Reb Lezer, how's that possible? How does a person know when that day is? V'chi Adam Yedeya Ezu Yom Yomas. Does a person really know which is the day he's going to leave this world? The Gemara tells us elsewhere that the Yom HaMisa, I believe it's the Gemara in Pesachim, the Yom HaMisa is something which nobody's aware of. It's hidden. So how does a person know which day is appropriate for tshuva? Amar Lemsa responded, V'koshken. Certainly, it's actually better that a person doesn't know. And therefore, Yoshev Hayoim, certainly because he doesn't know, let him do tshuva today. Shema Yomas Lamacha, perhaps he'll die tomorrow. V'nimtza, as a result of this uncertainty and of this practice, V'nimtza kol yama v'tshuva, and turns out that all his days will be filled with tshuva and preparation of his departure from this world. V'av Shloimai, Amar b'chachmasai, likewise Shloimai, expressed in his wisdom, b'chol eis, at all times, yub godecho levanim, your clothes, your garments should be white, referring to the neshama, as we discussed yesterday. The neshama is nimshal compared to garments which are given by the king, by Hashem, to take care of them, to guard them, keep them clean. So keep your clothes clean at all times. V'shemen al roishcha al yechzer. And oil on your head should not be lacking, referring to mitzvahs. So a person constantly has to adopt this attitude. Doesn't know when the time this world, when his stint in this world will expire. Therefore, maintain yourself in proper shape at all times. Amar b'yechem azakai. Mashal, this is analogous to a king. Mashal l'melech shazimen es avad l'vasuda. He invited his avadim to the banquet v'loy kovel hemzman, and he didn't prescribe a specific time. Didn't tell them when the program is going to commence. Now, they don't know when to expect to be called into the banquet hall. Pikhen shubahem. So what happened? The pikhen, the wise one, the smart ones amongst them, kishtus atzman, they got dressed up properly, they beautified themselves in preparation for the banquet. V'yoshva Pesach Beis HaMelech, and they waited the commencement of the program. They sat on the Pesach, at the doorway of the palace. Amr, they said, look, klum chosel Beis HaMelech, is the king lacking anything in there? He can decide to begin his suit at any given moment. Let's be prepared for it. Tibshin shebehen, however, the foolish ones amongst them, they said, well, we have plenty of time. They got occupied with their own business. They want to do their work. Amr, they said, klum yesuda b'lay torach. Do you ever find a suda without preparation, without exertion? They need to prepare. Surely you have plenty of time to come back and join the meal. What happened? Pisoim, suddenly, without prior notice, bikesh ha-melech ha-savadav. The king summoned his servants. Time to begin the program. Pikhin shebehem nechzul afanav. They pikhin amongst them entered fully dressed, beautified, clean, ready for the meal. Va'atipshim, however, the foolish ones, nichnasu lefanav, they came unprepared, and they entered the geshem lechlochim, soiled and dirty. And what happened? Samach ha-melech l'kras pikhim. The king expressed his happiness and joy for the pikhim who came prepared v'kras l'kras tipshim, and expressed his anger and annoyance towards the foolish ones. Amar, he said, what is the result? Halolu shekishtos atzma suda. The wise ones who beautify themselves, prepare themselves properly for the suda, yeshvu v'yoychel v'yishtu. They'll sit and eat and drink. Ha'alolu, the other ones, shaloikish to atzmu l'suda, who did not prepare themselves properly for the suda, yamdu v'yiru, they will merely stand by and watch and not partake in the suda. So this is compared to the person in this world, one who's prepared at all times for the summoning of Hashem back to Gan Eden, back to Shemayim, who'll merit to experience the joy and beauty of Gan Eden, as opposed to those foolish people who squander their lifetime away with foolishness and distractions, thinking, well, we have plenty of time to prepare ourselves for that journey upwards. They never know when that moment will come. And when it comes and they're unprepared, they have to stand by. They won't be able to experience the joy and ecstasy of Gan Eden. Continues the Gemara, Chasnei Shurab Meir, Mishum Ramei Omar. So the son-in-law of Meir quoted Meir as follows. Af Hein Nirin Kemishamshin. We said that the Tipshim will stand on the side and watch and not take part. He held that wasn't sufficient punishment because afhein nirin kemishamshin, they're viewed as servants. They look like they're merely there to serve, to wait on the meal. And it's not really a shame and embarrassment. It's not enough of a punishment. Ella, rather, what happens is as follows. Elu ve'elu yoshvin, both classes of people will sit down. The difference will be halolu uichlin, halolu re'evim. These will take part, will eat, and those will remain hungry. Halolu shoysin, valolu tzmeim. These will drink, and these will make thirsty. Shenemar, koyamar Hashem. Hashem said as follows. Hine avoda yoichlu. My servants will eat. Avoda yochelu v'atem tiravu, and you will be hungry. Hine avoda yishtu. My servants will drink. V'atem titzmo, and you will be thirsty. Hine avodai yoroinu mitov lev. My servants will sing mituv lev from the goodness of their heart, va'atem tzitzaku, and you will cry out mikeiv lev from the hurt of your heart. So the Maharal explains, it seems that the first version of the Gemara assumes that the einish of Gehenna will be simply absence, the void. They're going to feel the void of the ecstasy, of the hanah, of that positive experience that they can't take a part in. That in itself is a punishment, a sufficient punishment. Whereas the quote from a mayor holds that no, that's not sufficient punishment, merely absence. That's not really Gehenna. Gehenna means actually partaking in a negative experience, suffering somewhat. Only in that manner does the experience of Gehenna cleanse the person, cleanses the neshama, and avails him for the ultimate hana, which everybody has a chelek olam haba, which they'll experience thereafter. Continues the Gemara, Dabar Acher, another pshat in the pasuk b'chol eis, yubgadech levanim, at all times your clothes should be white. This is referring to the tzitzis, elo tzitzis, which are white. V'shemen al roishcha, al yechsar, the oil on your head should not be lacking, elo tefillin, referring to the tefillin, Rashi says, because tefillin has the shame of Hashem embedded in it. Rashi brings the Gemara, that the tefillin placed on one's head expressed the fact that Hashem rests on us, because it has the shin there, which is visible. So v'shemen, v'shem, that's the shame of Hashem, sitting on your head, referring to the tefillin. The Maharal points out that specifically these two mitzvahs, tzitzis and tefillin, encompass the whole person and all his aspects and elements, because the tefillin shorosh, sitting on a person's head, that reflects a person's intellectual commitment and connection to Hashem in the head, in the brain, in the person's mind, person's neshama. The tzitzis wraps a person's body, so it represents the person's element of body, which is also connected to Hashem. So both these elements, body and soul, intellect, mind, and guf, are meant to be constantly connected and cleaving to Hashem throughout one's life. Hadr Allah Shoyal, says the Mishnah, Mi shehichshich loy baderich. So a person is traveling, and Shabbos is about to come. It's about to get dark, and he has his wallet with his money. Noisin kisel enocher. Chacham was concerned about a person losing his property, as the Moral explained, and therefore they gave him an option. You can hand your pouch or your other valuables to a nochri, a non-Jew, and have him carry it for you. So do this right before Shabbos, and have him carry it for you on Shabbos. If you made him a nochri, there's no goy available, manich al hachamor, you can place it on his donkey. Higia l'chatzar chetzoyna. Once he reaches the safety of the city, right when he gets to the first courtyard, noitel sakelim and tolma Shabbos. So he wants to remove whatever is sitting on his donkey, so he removes the kelim, which are non-mukta, which he can move on Shabbos. Those kelim which are in the Talmud of Shabbos, which are not movable on Shabbos, they are muktzah. He can't directly interact with them. Rather, matar chavalim, he loosens the ropes which are keeping them on the donkey, and the sacks slip down on their own. Says the Gemara, my time, surely rabbanon lemeisav kisi lenochri. What is the reason why Chacham allowed one to hand over his property to the goy to carry it for him? We know generally, one may not instruct a non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. So why is this different? It says the Merkimul Rabban. The Rabban were well aware that the Einod Mamed Atzmei Mamayna. A person doesn't have the ability to withstand, to face loss of his property. Ilay Sharisle, if you don't allow him to hand it to the goy, Osi La Suyi Dal Damas Yisraben. He may be tempted to go carry that item with him for Amas Yisraben and do a malacha in that Torah. If Chacham negated and suspended their iser of Amira La'akum and allowed him to pass it on to a goy. Amarov, Dafka Kisei. This applies merely to one's own personal property for which he toiled, expended tircha. So he's very emotionally connected to his property. And he may be tempted to actually carry it with him if he doesn't have another option. Therefore, the Chacham allowed him to give it to the goy. Avomet Sialoi. But regarding something which he merely found, in which case, he didn't spend much effort on it, he's not so emotionally connected to it, and therefore, there's no concern there that he might go do a malacha if we don't give him another viable option, therefore he could not give it to the goy. So it's more pshita, isn't this obvious? Kisitna. The Mishnah specifically cites an example of kisai, which indicates his personal property for which he worked and toiled for. Maudetema, perhaps I would think, hu adin. The same din would apply afilu mitzia, even to something which he found. Why did the Mishnah mention kisa? Urcha de milsak tani. Mishnah simply shows something which is common. But certainly this halacha would apply even to an object which he found off the street. Kamash malon, therefore Rava teaches us that is not the case. The Chacham only allowed in a specific case where a person feels emotionally connected to it, and therefore they provided that allowance. Continues the Gemara. V'lo yamar. Now this exception, that's something which one finds, he's not emotionally connected to it, there's no concern. That's only Ela Deloy Osil Yadi. If that object had not yet entered his hands, he had not yet acquired it, he didn't do a kinyan for it. Therefore, it's not really his yet. In which case, he won't feel so much the loss of the item. He can face the loss of that object without getting too involved, too emotionally involved. There's no concern and there's no heter. Aval Osil Yadi. But if that object has already entered his hand, meaning he already did a kinyan, he acquired it, kikisei dami, it's considered like his pouch, like any other of his objects, and therefore we allow him to give it to a goy. Ikadami, there's another version. Boy Rava. Rava was uncertain. He asked, Metziah habalu yodei, an object which one finds, and already came into his property, meaning came into his possession, he already was kind it. Ma, what will be the halacha there? Kiven the asal yodei, since it came into his possession, kikisei dami, it is equated to his pouch and his concern. And due to his emotional attachment to it, he might be tempted to do a malacha if we don't allow him to pass it on to an anju. Or Yidilma, perhaps, given the loy torach, but since ultimately he didn't really work for this thing, he merely found it off the street. So perhaps he's not so concerned about the loss of this item, lav kikisei dami, and we don't equate it to his pouch. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi here is four lines from the bottom. My time is surely lemeisel lenochri. Why did Chacham allow him to hand his money to the guy? Varehu shlucha lisena b'shabbos. The guy is becoming his emissary, his shliach. One cannot use a guy to do a malach. The Gemara answered because Chacham knew, were well aware of human nature. A person will have very, it will be very difficult for somebody to face loss of his property. Ain't the mamed atzmai b'latzmo money. He won't be able to withstand from doing something to save his money. And the Rabbah tells us this is specifically when it's something which he earned. Dafka kisay the kibbutz torach ba, since he toiled for a shari torach uba, since through work. So he's concerned about losing it since he toiled and worked for it. If you don't allow him, if you don't allow him to give it to the guy, he may come to carry it. This is only said that Metzia is excluded from this allowance, only if this thing didn't enter his possession, didn't enter his domain, if he wasn't kind it. He didn't pick it up, he hadn't yet acquired it. Because otherwise, it's considered to be like one of his other possessions, and we allow him to give it to the guy. That's the first version of Rava. The second version of Rava concludes that we're uncertain about this, whether or not we're going to equate the Metzia, which he already was kind of, to the other possessions, or perhaps there's a difference since he didn't really exert much effort in acquiring it, so perhaps the heter will not apply, and we leave it unresolved. Continues the Gemara, Eina Meinachri. Mishnah told us, if there's no nachri available, place it on your donkey. Taima de inim nachri. This is only because there's no Gentile available. Ha, yeshu menachri, but if there's a nachri with him, certainly that's the most preferred option, a nachri yavli. My taima, why? Why do we prefer giving to the nachri over placing it on his chamor? Says the Gemara, my time, chamor ata metzuvah shisosei. One is, metzuvah is commanded to prevent his animal from doing malach on Shabbos. Nachri, however, eyat ha-metzuvah al-shisasi. By a nachri, there's no tzivoy to have the nachri rest for you. So min ha-teira, a guy could do a malach for a yid. It's merely an isser mid-rabbanon. The rabbanon suspended their isser, in this case, for concern that it might lead him to do a worse offense, do isser the right of carrying it. So this is specifically to giving it to a guy, as opposed to putting on a chamor. In which case, sometimes, when a chamor carries something for a person, it involves an issa deraisa. Now, actually, in our case, it won't involve an issa min ha-teira. The Gemara later will explain, describe exactly how he will place it on his chamor to circumvent the issa deraisa. But theoretically, a chamor is meant to rest on Shabbos, and if he's not careful to do it do properly, the chamor will end up doing issa deraisa for him. So we try to avoid that. That's only the second option. Preferably, you should give it to the nachum. Continues the Gemara. Chamor v'cheresh shoyte v'katan. Now the Gemara knew that although the Mishnah merely cites two options, a nachri or a chamor, the Gemara knew that there are other options as well. A cheresh, a person who is deaf and mute, who is considered to be a lav bardas, a person that doesn't have true understanding and he's pata from mitzvahs, the Gemara soon will discuss it. A shoyte, a person who's deranged, v'katan, a minor. So the Gemara knew that these are also options to hand it to any of these people who are not considered to be bar mitzvah, they're not obligated to keep the laws of Shabbos. So this is also an option. Now, if one is faced with a choice, he has a donkey, and he also has a cheresh, or a shoyte, or katan, accompanying him. Which one is better? Should he put it on the donkey, or should he hand it to one of these individuals? Says the Gemara again, chamor, if he's faced with a choice of the donkey and the cheresh, shoyte v'katan. Which one is preferred? Says the Gemara, chamor manach lei. Put it on the chamor. L'cheresh, shoyte v'katan lo yoyev lei. He shouldn't give it to these individuals. He should rather place it on the donkey. Why? My time, why? Hani, Adam. These are considered to be Adam. Part of the human race. Human species. Rashi says that, although these people are not chayv mitzvahs, because he's a cheresh, a shoyte v'katan, but in his kind, meaning other people like them, are chayv mitzvahs. And asila chlufi, Rashi says, one might confuse matters. Well, if you give it to this person, next time I give it to a person who's chayv mitzvahs, a regular adult. Therefore, avoid these people. Put it on the chamor, who's not a person. Hani adam, hi, this donkey, love adam, is not a person. So that's the preferred option. Continues to go on with other options. Cheresh v'shoyte. If he's faced with a choice, should I give it to the deaf mute or to the shoyte who's deranged? L'shoyte, give it to the shoyte. Rashi says, because he has no das at all. As opposed to cheresh, who has that to klisht, Rashi says, some sort of minor form of lucidity of das. And Perhaps Rashi means that he can be, again, a person could confuse giving to a cheresh to giving to ordinary person, therefore better give it to a shoyte, who nobody will mix up and confuse with a healthy person. So better give it to a shoyte than to a cheresh. Continues the Gemara, what about if he's faced with an option of shoyte v'katan? Which one goes first? L'shoyte, for the same reason, because a shoyte is considered to be completely devoid of das, of understanding. As Rabbi Chanan points out, that what sets a person higher than an animal? His power to understand, his wisdom, his understanding, his chachma. So a shoyte is bereft and devoid of all that. It's compared, in a way, to a behemoth. Therefore, give it to the shoyte rather than to the katan. Continues the Gemara, Iboilu, so they ask the following question. What's going to be if we are faced with an equation as follows? Cheresh v'kata, mai. He's faced with the choice, giving it to the cheresh, deaf mute, or to a katan. Which one takes precedence? Says the Gemara, Aliba de Rabbi Lezer, loyti boilach. Now, according to Rabbi Lezer, the Gemara soon will bring that he holds that regarding a cheresh, it's not really so sure that he's bereft of das, that he's missing das. Perhaps Rabbi Lezer had a suffix, uncertainty, whether or not a cheresh is considered to be a bar das and one who is chayiv in mitzvahs. So according to Rabbi Lezer, there's no contest here. Certainly, give it to the katan, who we know is not a bar mitzvah. Aliba de Rabbi Lezer, let's see, according to Rabbi Lezer, there's no question. The sign, as we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Yitzchak, Oyim, Mishun Rabbi Lezer. Truma's cheresh. What if a cheresh performs truma? He separates truma. You can't simply treat it as chulin. Because we have an uncertainty whether or not a cheresh is considered to be within the category of a bar mitzvah. Whether his das is considered to be a proper understanding, a proper wisdom, proper lucid understanding. Therefore, since there's a suffix there, we can't treat his masa of taking off truma as possible, as disqualifying. Therefore, we can't treat it as chulin. We finish with suffix. So, according to Rabbi Lezer, certainly, when we're faced with a choice, give the pouch to a katan or a cheresh, you can't give it to the cheresh. Perhaps he's considered to be a full-fledged person, and he's a bar mitzvah, a bar chiyuva. Therefore, you must prefer giving it to the katan, who we know is not a bar mitzvah as of now. Kiti boilach, when will you have your uncertainty? I'll leave it to Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, who hold that a cheresh is not considered to be one who has proper understanding, proper das, and with regard to mitzvahs, he's like a katan. So you're faced with this equation. We have a cheresh who's an adult. Perhaps one can confuse him with an ordinary adult. He's an adult, but he's patur from mitzvahs. On the other side of the scale, you have a katan, who's also not a bar das. Halachically, legally, he's not considered to be one who has true understanding. He's not chayv a mitzvahs. He hasn't yet received his neshama. So he's not really chayv a mitzvahs. But there's a downside there. Why? Because this fellow, this katan himself, during the course of his upcoming years, he's going to grow into an adult. He himself will turn into an adult who's chayv in mitzvahs. So he's a bit closer in nature, to a proper yid, proper adult, than a cheresh is, who's never going to develop into a proper adult who's chayv in mitzvahs. On the other hand, the cheresh is already an adult who can be confused with your typical adult. So there's a factor in favor for each one of them. So which one are we meant to choose? Which one is the preferred option to give the kiss to? So again, says the Gemara on the top line, Ki tiboy lach leiv derabbanan, this question only applies according to the Shitas Rabbanan, who maintain that a cheresh is considered to be a lar bar das, devoid of true understanding, and is potter from mitzvahs. The snan, as learned in the Mishnah, chamishle, train me to five individuals who should not perform truma, v'im tarmu, if they proceeded to do that, ain't truma some truma, that truma is considered to be invalid. Elu hein, who are they? Cheresh, deaf mute, shoyte, deranged, v'katan. V'atoyim v'she'en v'shaloi. If one goes ahead and removes truma from produce that doesn't belong to him, he has no rishus to do it. V'nachri, she'torah me'shal Yisrael. If a non-Jew proceeds to do truma on the produce of a Yisrael, afilu b'rishusai, even with full authority, ain't truma sa truma, his truma is invalid, Rashi says, because shlichas to a guy is non-existent. He can't become an emissary of a yid. So in any case, we see that the cheresh who does truma, that truma is considered to be null and void because he's not a bar mitzvah. So getting back to our question, my, so what would be the halacha? What choice with cheresh or katan? Le cheresh yavle, should he give it to a cheresh? Why? The katan asil chaldas. As opposed to giving it to a katan who eventually is going to become a bar das, he's going to acquire wisdom and understanding when he grows older. So perhaps one will confuse the katan with an ordinary adult, or perhaps another reason would be that this katan himself will grow accustomed to doing these things, and even when it becomes bar mitzvah, he'll continue to do it. So there's a reason to avoid giving it to the katan. Or perhaps the katan yavle prefer giving it to the katan. The cherish aslach lufi begadol bekeach, because the cherish might be confused. One might mix it up with a gadol bekeach, with an ordinary adult who has understanding. So there's a reason to prefer the katan, since he's merely a minor. Nobody will confuse him with a gadol bekeach. There's a reason to prefer the cherish, because he in himself will never develop into a bardas. So which way do we go? So the more we have machlekes, ika de amri, some say le cherish yavle, give it to the cherish. Ika de amri, some say le katan yavle, give it to the katan. Since right now he's a katan and is very dissimilar to your ordinary adult. Continues the gemara. So we had the nachri, we had the option of putting on the donkey, the cherish, the shaita, the katan. What if none of the above are applicable? None of the above are available. No goy, no donkey, no cheresh, no shaita v'katan. What is this person supposed to do? Om Rabbi Yitzchak, there's actually another option available. Oida cheresh haisa, there was another option. Chacham did not want to reveal it. Meaning, this option that we're going to see soon is only allowed when there's absolutely no other alternative. Only then do the Chacham allow it. But if there's a goy available, you're meant to give it to the Nachri, as opposed to resorting to this option. What is this option? My oida cheres hoisa. What was this other option that the Chachamim concealed, didn't want to reveal it? Meilichoi pachos, pachos medalat amas. Person carries the item in increments, less than 4 amas at a time, in which case there's no issa medalat Torah. If he's carrying less than 4 amas, only from Rabbanon, and this is only allowed when there's no other option available. Says the Gemara, Amai l'rotzu Chacham l'galoisa. Why not? Why didn't the Chacham publicize it? Why couldn't this be done l'chatchila? Mishum kvoid elokim hasadavar. It is the honor of Hashem to hide something. Ukvoid melachim chakar davar. The honor of human kings is investigate, don't hide anything. As opposed to Hashem, we're meant to hide things to protect the honor of Hashem. Explains the Gemara. V'achamai kvoid elokim ika. Why is concealing this halacha from the public considered to be adding honor to Hashem? How is it safeguarding Hashem and the Torah? Dilma osri le'asuy da'adamishus rabbi. Because if a person will know about the solution, perhaps this will lead him to actually carry it for Amos, which is Sarabim. So it's not something which is preferred. It's covered elikim to protect the honor of Hashem's Torah. Protect it, conceal it, don't publicize it. It's only a last resort option when there's nothing else available. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Rablezo Eimer. Boy b'yoyim, on that day, Rashi will tell us this was the day that the Chachamim went up to the upper floor of Hananiah ben Chizkiah, as we learned way back on the Daf Yud-Zayin, and they made many gzeiros to protect the Torah, safeguard Truma, etc. And on that day, they enacted this gzeira as well, which is, don't resort to incremental carrying, less than 4 amos at a time, unless there's no other option available, unless there's no goy available. Otherwise, you can't resort to that option. This was the gzeira which was enacted on that day as well. Boy b'yoyim, on that day, God Yeshua saw, they heaped this sa'ah is this measuring container, which they used to measure, for instance, flour, and they would pile it up, heap it up. So by adding this gzera, this was actually beneficial to the Torah, by safeguarding the Torah and preventing one from doing a malacha. So again, by stating that this option is merely to be employed when a person is left without any other alternative, it actually added to the Torah, it heaped, so to speak, the measure of the Torah. Rabbi Shua disagrees. Rabbi Shua Eimer, it went too far. Boy b'yoyim, that they machu husa, they wiped down the sa'ah, meaning they shaved off the heaping portion and knocked it down to its fill line. They lost out, meaning sometimes when you pull the rope too much, you end up losing out because, as Rashi will explain, by limiting a person's options, insisting that he give it to the Nachri, not allowing him to carry less than 4 amos, perhaps, on occasion, he won't trust the guy. He won't want to give it to him. And since you don't give him the other option, he's going to resort to actually carrying it outright, which is a rabbin. So it actually resulted in losing out. It was detrimental to the Torah, not beneficial. Tani, we learned in the Brayse, a mushel. The Reb Lezer, this mushel of Reb Lezer, who maintained that it was beneficial to the Torah to attach, to enact this gzera lamada, or daima, what is it equated to? Lekupa mele, kishudim luim. A person has a basket full of vegetables, cucumbers and gourds. He wants to fill it a bit more. So he takes some small size items, some mustard seeds, and spills it in between those vegetables. Adam noisel lesecha chardo. The person pours some mustard in addition to all those vegetables in machzakis. And surely the basket holds everything. It slips right between those vegetables. And it's great. He just added more content to his basket. So according to Reb Lezer, adding this restriction was actually beneficial to the Torah. Mashal, Rabbi Yeshua, Lamad Avadayma. The Mashal Rabbi Yeshua maintained that was actually detrimental to the Torah. What is this equated to? La Reva Malaya Dvash, to this bowl full of honey. A person seeks to fill it even more. He places pomegranates and nuts in there. What happens? Overfill causes it to overflow. Fimakir, it spits out its content, it's honey. So you end up losing out. There's no gain achieved whatsoever. Here as well, by adding this additional restriction, it actually brings about and causes a detriment to the Torah. Let's see Rashi inside. 20 lines from the top. Beginning with the words "bay b'yoyim," that they godishu sa'ah. So this is Reb Lezer who holds that was beneficial. They added, they heaped to the container "b'yoyim sha'olu." On that day, they went up l'aliyas Chananya ben Chizkiah. They went up to the aliyah of Chananya ben Chizkiah. V'garzu yudches davar, and they made 18 gzeres. V'zu achas mem hoisa. This was one of them. K'darminam perakama noisen kisel anachri. This requirement, this obligation to hand your kiss to the goy, "bay b'yoyim gazru," was enacted on that day. Shloyu lechenu. They required him to give it to the guy specifically and not resort to carrying it less than 4 amos at a time. So that day, they added safeguards to the Torah, the heaping measure. The was very good because it added safeguard to the Torah. According to Bishua, it did just the opposite. They measured the flour with a white down measure, meaning they removed the heaping portion. It was actually detrimental. They added too much gzera. Some people can't withstand these restrictions. People will actually resort to transgressions. The result is that the measure is wiped off of its heaping portion, meaning you put too much, everything just falls off. It would have been better for them to engage in measuring a heaping portion, not to overload and to actually knock down the measure. Getting back to Reb Lezer, who maintains it was actually good, so he poured the mustard seeds in this basket, because the mustard seeds fall between the vegetables. Afkan here as well, Yofet Tikna was good. What they did, was something enduring and lasting. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua maintains that overloading the honey there causes it to flow out the mekiyas advash, it spits out the excess honey, shahiyah barishan, which was there originally. So you end up adding but losing the initial. Af elu, likewise here, are they zerosim through their gzera gormulaver. They cause people to be over the shema leyamnes anochim. Perhaps a person won't trust the guy to give him his money. And nevertheless, they didn't allow him, in the case when he has the goy option, to carry less than 4 amos. We know that a person can't withstand facing the loss of his property. So if you won't give it to the Nachri, what's he going to do? He's going to carry it 4 amos. Says the Gemara. Omar Mar. Eini me Nachri, manicha lachamar. So when he doesn't have the Nachri option, he places it on his donkey. Says the Gemara, how's that allowed? He's doing an Isser, a Malacha, Falei Mechamer. He's leading his donkey with his load on it, which is a Malacha, which is an Isser Menat Torah. We don't allow a person to be over. In this Siman HaTorah, this whole discussion regarding the Rabbanan allowing one to do things, that's only in the context of an Issa Rabbanan. So they suspended their Issa. You can instruct a guy to do it for you, because we can't compel you to face the loss of your property. But an Issa HaTorah, that's not allowed. Says the Gemara, "V'alei mechamer v'rachmona amar." The Torah says, "Leisasu kol malacha," and the pasuk continues there, "Ata etc." Ubem techa. They're referring to leading an animal with a load. So a person cannot do a malacha in conjunction with his animal, which is called a malacha of mechamer. Amar of adabar ava. We found a way for him to circumvent, avoid doing the isman atir. Manicha le'akshim malachas. So while the animal is walking, so en route, he places the bag on the animal, in which case there's no malacha. Why? Because there's no akira done. We know that the two main elements of transferring of Haitzah is akira and hanacha, lifting the object off the ground and placing it down on the ground. Now, if there's an item sitting on a person's shoulders, for instance, and he's standing in place, and he begins to walk, that is also considered akira, because the item is considered to be in its rest, resting on the floor, sitting on the person who's standing on the floor. So merely beginning to walk from a state of, from a stationary state, is considered to be akira. But if the animal is already en route, it's already in motion, it's already walking, and then he places it on it while it's walking, there was never an akira, because the object with the animal were never stationary, were never standing in place. So there was no akira done, therefore there's no malacha done. Again, manicha le'okshim alechas. He places it on the animal while it's already walking. Says, okay, that took care of this part. But it's inevitable the animal is going to stand, going to stop for a moment to tend to its needs, lashed and mayim, to shed water, lat glow, to shed solid weights. So it's going to be a point in time which the animal is going to stop. He's going to stop and make a hanocha, and then he's going to begin walking again and do akira. Says the Gemara, the Zegirsa adds a word here, tana, so we learned in the Braisa. This is the manner in which we're meant to deal with this. When he sees the animal walking, that's when he places it on it, in which case it's no akira. Likewise, when he sees that the animal is about to stop, he quickly removes the pouch. So there's never a lifting or a placing down. So there's no malacha min ha-Torah. Therefore it's mut. Says Gemara, yachi, if this is a good option of timing things perfectly to avoid an isser, why do you need a donkey? I feel a chaver nami. Why can he employ this method even with his friend? So he walks alongside his friend. When his friend begins walking, he places the pouch on him. When he sees he's about to stop, he removes it. Amrav Papa. That's not allowed. Because there is an Issa D'Rabban. Why? Kol she begufei chayev chatas. Any type of activity where if a person would simply do it on his own, he would be chayev chatas because it would be considered an Issa min ha-Torah. For instance, walking along the street, and even while you're walking, lifting something off the ground. That's called an akira. Because you're lifting something off the ground. So that's called an akira. And if you place it down, you're doing hanacha. So isa min ha-Torah. But chaveiroi, if you employ this method with your friend, so while he's walking, you take it and put it on him. So it's a joint effort. This malacha is being accomplished by two people. But chaveiroi potter avalasa. Certainly he's potter. They're both potter. Because Rashi says we apply the rule of shnaim shasua. If two people join together and do a malacha in conjunction with each other, they are potter. Avalasa. But it's asam d'rabbanan. So since this type of activity, walking along the street, picking something off the ground, if a person himself would do it, he'd be chayv achatas. Because he's doing a malacha, he's lifting something off the ground, even if he's walking. But since he's lifting it from a stationary state, he's lifting it off the ground and walking with it and then placing it back down, he's doing a malacha min ha-Torah. So even if he does it to his friend, when his friend is walking, his friend is inactive, and he places it on his friend, so it's happening as a joint effort. He's doing the akira, so to speak, and his friend is carrying it along, so it's happening through two people. It's shnayim shosua, and it is pata, it's not a malacha min ha-Torah, but it's asa midrabanan. So you can't use your friend, you can't employ this method with your friend. However, an animal is different. Whenever you have a situation where if two people do it together, it's patam and atur, but it's asam and rabbanon. If it's employed with an animal, if one does it in conjunction with an animal, with his donkey, it's mutal chatchila because joining forces with an animal to do a malacha involves no issa whatsoever. So therefore, better place the pouch on the animal, as we said, in motion. Put it on him while he's in motion, remove it while he's in motion, in which case the malacha, so to speak, is happening as a joint effort between the person and animal, in which case there's no issa midrabanan whatsoever. So in summary, we learned that if one is traveling, he sees Shabbos is about to begin, what does he do with his money pouch? What does he do with his valuables? So we have a hierarchy. The first option is give it to the Nachri. Second option, place it on the Chamar. As we just described, he does it while it's in motion. Third option is give it to a Shoiter. Then we have a Cheresh and a Katan. What if we're faced with the choice of Cheresh and Katan? According to Rabbi Lezer, certainly give it to the Katan, because the Cheresh perhaps is considered to be a Bar Das and a Bar Mitzvah. According to Rabbanan, we're not sure. We have two approaches. Give it to the Cheresh or give it to the Katan. And finally, Gemara says, if none of the above are applicable, you yourself will carry it less than 4 amos. That's interesting that the Chachamim would allow Isser Rabbanon of giving something to a guy and having him do it for you. They suspended that Isser for the sake of conserving his property. Now, did not allow a Shnaim Shirusua. The Gemara says you can't do a malacha in conjunction with your friend, because that's considered to be doing a malacha together, which is an Isser Rabbanon. Why is this different? And it appears that this Isser Rabbanon is different and did not suspend this Isser even in face of losing property. The reason seems to be because it's different than merely instructing a guy where there's no issa min haTorah involved whatsoever. The whole thing begins and ends with an issa d'rabbanan, as opposed to doing a malacha through two people. There is a malacha min haRaisa being completed here, but it's done as a partnership between two people. This is a more severe act. This resembles more closely an issa min haTorah, and therefore this they did not allow even in these circumstances. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Adabar Ava, we have another scenario where a person is stuck with his package on Shabbos. A person finds himself carrying his load and it's ready Shabbos. Rots tachteo. So he should just run and run until he reaches home. So in which case there's no malacha, because as long as he doesn't stop to rest, there's no ha'akira, there's no hanacha, he's just continuously in motion until he gets home. Dafka ruts. This is only allowed if he runs. Ava kali kali, if he walks leisurely light, you don't allow him to do this. Why? My timer. Why? Kiva de lesle kira, since he's not doing something abnormal. He's merely walking in an ordinary manner. Asi lemebed akira nocha. Perhaps he won't pay attention. Since he's doing something just ordinarily, he's walking and he's not doing something unusual, perhaps he'll forget what's happening and he'll come to stop and start again and do akira nocha. So we require him to run, which is a demonstration of something unusual taking place, in which case he'll keep in mind what's happening, he won't come to stop. Says, well, what happens when he gets home? Saif, ultimately, kimatul basin, when he gets to his house, it's inevitable that he's going to stop a bit, he's going to be bringing in, so either it means that he's going to stop when he gets to his door, or it means that, at least when he places the item down in his home, he's actually completing the transfer. So how is he going to get around that concern? Says, he simply tosses it off in an indirect way, in which case there's no Isser. The Chacham allowed this in a situation of Hefsid, where a person is incurring financial loss, they allow him to transport in this manner. So he runs until he gets home and tosses it off, in which case there was no outright malacha done. Amar Rami Bachama, Hamachamer Achabemtoi b'Shabbos. The person leads his animal who's carrying a load on Shabbos. We know that's us. Now, what are the consequences here? Do we treat this like an ordinary malacha? In which case, a person who be chay vechatas if he does it b'shoigig inadvertently, or if he does it maliciously, b'mezit, he gets skila. Or do we say no? This is a lower form iser. Amar Rami Bachama, Hamachamer Achabemtoi b'Shabbos. So this is like an ordinary malacha. B'shogei, he brings a chatos. B'mezit, he gets skila. My time, or why? Amar Rav Damakro, the pasuk says, Loisasako malacha ato behemtecha. The pasuk warns us against doing a malacha with your behema. What type of malacha is done in conjunction with one's behema? Leading the animal who's carrying a load. And the Gemara and the pasuk compares the two things. Behemtoi dumi didei. Doing a malacha with his behema is comparable to Ata, to your own personal malacha. Mahu b'shogeg chayav chatos, just as he himself, when he does a malacha, b'shogeg, unknowingly brings a chatos, b'mezid, if he does it intentionally, chayav skila. Af b'hemtoy, likewise, if he does this malacha through his behema, b'hemtoy nami, b'shogeg chayav chatos, b'mezid, chayav skila. So according to Rabbi Bachama, we regard it as though it's his own personal ma'aseh, as though he's turning on the light on Shabbos, because he's doing a malacha with his behema. Omar Rav Sheitshuvis B'davar. I have two challenges to this opinion. Chada, number one. How can you say it's chayv achatas? The pasuk says Torah achas yelachem. He will have one Torah, one category. Lo oise b'shgoga to a person who does not very b'shogi, but nefesh hashatas b'yodrama does b'mezid. So this is a pasuk by Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara learns from here Torah achas that the whole Torah is connected to Avodah Zarah. We went to apply the same formula, just as we find by Avodah Zarah, where b'mezid is a skila, b'shogi is chatas. And b'mezid, if there's no edim, he gets kares. So likewise, the other averis in the Torah, where b'mezid is a kares, b'shogeg is a karmachatas. Hukshu kala Torah kula v'dezar. The whole Torah is connected v'dezar. Ma v'dezar, just as v'dezar, the oved ma'asa begufe. It is a person who did a ma'asa physically, directly with him, his own body, it's his own personal ma'asa. And therefore, he brings a chatas if he does it inadvertently. Ha'chanami here as well, regarding the whole Torah. We require that it conforms to that formula, ad ovid ma'asa begufei. He only brings a chatas if he does the ma'asa actually himself. But this case of machamer is different, because he's doing it through his animal. It doesn't fit this criteria. Va'oid. Additionally, how can you say that there is a skila, if a person is machamer b'mezid? Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, amachalas ha-shabbos. If a person desecrates Shabbos, b'dover, by doing something, shechayoven al shigigose chatas. With something where, if it's done b'shogeg, there's a chatas, v'az doin iskila, when it's done b'mezid, iskila. So the fact that the Mishnah says that it's specifically something which is a type of chilul Shabbos, which results in a chatas and a skila, apparently, the Mishnah is implying there's something which doesn't fit that description. Mechlal, apparently, dikamidi, there's another type of chilul Shabbos. De'ein chayoven, al shigigose chatas. There's no chatas for doing it b'shogeg, v'loi, al doin iskila. Nor is there a skila on doing it b'mezid. But my new, what is this referring to? Lav de mechamer. Apparently, this is referring to the lav of mechamer. That leading an animal with a package, with a load, although it's chilul Shabbos, one can't do it, but it's not so severe like the other malachis. There's no chatas, there's no skila. Says Marno, loy, tchumen. It's referring to the isra of leaving one's boundaries on Shabbos. But lead the rekiva. Kunt rekiva holds that minatari, one can't walk past the tchum. Nevertheless, there's no chatas and there's no skila. But certainly, mechamer is considered like the other malachis, which incurs skila and chatas. Or, v'havara, it's referring to lighting a fire. Alib Rabbi Yosi, according to Rabbi Yosi, maintains that lighting a fire in Shabbos is not equated with the other malachis, it only involves a lav. So the mission there, which implies that there are other types of chilul Shabbos, which are not in the category of chatas and skila, is referring to tchumin or havara, but not mechamer. Says the Gemara, Rav Zvid Masni Hachi. Rav Zvid had a different version in Rami Bar Chama's Shita. Omar Rami Bar Chama, Hamachamer Acha Behemah B'Shabbos. If one leads a behemah who's carrying a load on Shabbos, B'Shogeg Ein Chayav Chatas. If he does it inadvertently, there's no Chatas, because we learn from Avodah Zarah, it needs to be a Maisa, as opposed to this case, it's not his Maisa, it's the animal's doing. However, B'Mezit Chayav Skila, if he does it intentionally, he brings a Skila, he's Chayav Skila, because we learned earlier, don't do a malacha, you and your behema. And we connect the malacha that you do through the behema to the malacha that a person himself does, just as the malacha that he personally does brings a skila. Likewise, the malacha doing through the behema results in skila. So in summary, we have three shittas regarding mechamer. According to the first version of Rambam Bar Chama, it's equated to the other malachas. B'shogeg de'zeichi of chatas b'mezit. This skila, because according to Rambam Bar Chama, we look at it as though it's his own personal malacha. He's using his animal to accomplish his malacha. According to Rava, he's potter from chatas, potter from mezid. According to Rava, apparently, we regard it as the animal's act, not his act. The second version of Rambam Bar Chama maintained, it depends. B'shoigeg, the person is potter from chatas. B'mezid, the person who's leading the animal is chayev skila. And it appears that the svara, the reason would be that by a shoigeg, where there's no premeditation, there's no intent, this liability is simply on account of the actual act that was done. Now, who did the ma'aseh here? It was the animal. So the one leading it is potter. as opposed to be mazed, where the liability is as a result of the premeditation, of the intent, of the planning, of the arranging. In this case, he's arranging that the animal should do this malacha. So it's as though he is doing the malacha in conjunction with his animal, and he's chayiv skil. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. The Gemara began by telling us, how do we truly determine the madrega, the status of a person, of whether he's a ben olam haba? Just take a look at what happens in the person's levaya. The Gemara says, well, take a look at what the people are saying. We're going to follow this man. This is the true way to live. Another option is, what are his teachers saying? Are they pleased with his actions, what they hear, what they see about him? The Gemara told us, one is meant to be constantly on guard, prepare his neshama, keep it clean. We never know when the moment will come. The Mishnah told us, if one is carrying his money and Shabbos is around the corner, we have many options for him. Give it to a nachri, place it on the donkey. Give it to a shoita, a cherish or a katan. And finally, if no other options are available, carry it less than 4 amos at a time. If one finds himself carrying a load on Shabbos, run home and toss it down. And we have three approaches to the malacha of mechamer.